We had three poles snapped on the top, so the tops of the poles were laying on the road, and the wires were entangled around the cars. So that was, I'm saying that's a 25 kW wire, not a small wire, it's a big wire. And as long as they stayed in their cars, they were fine. But if they'd have probably stepped out and if the wires were hot, they'd have probably been killed.
Larry, that's the Derry Township Volunteer Fire Department Chief Mark Painteen talking with KDK-TV last night in the wake of the storm.
And again, we had enough damage that there are significant power outages and tornadoes reported, at least two. But the National Weather Service will go out and assess damage in other areas.
And there could be more.
And make a determination.
There was a touchdown in or near Imperial. And, of course, North Fayette is close by to that. This is a couple, Libby and Murph, who are living in North Fayette.
We've never experienced anything like this, and it's just shocking.
You think of other places that go through this. Yeah. I'm never thinking we would be in this position. Mm. Never.
But you have to look at it a positive note that if that big tree would have hit our house, we would have been seriously hurt.
And a lot of people, Larry, talking about big trees that came down in the storm last night.
In addition, prior to the tornado warnings were flood warnings because of the heavy, heavy rain and downpour, all part of the storm. So the update on power outages from Duquesne Light.
16,000 about at the last check, and around 6,000, just under 6,000 in Westmoreland County for Penn Power.
We'll get a break today with less humidity and sunshine, and we'll check in with Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather headquarters here in the next half hour.
It's a nice day. It's going to be 79.
Beautiful day.
So a little before debate time, he gets a shot in the ass, and that's they want to strengthen him up.
Former President Donald Trump earlier this week kind of laying down the gauntlet for tonight's presidential debate live from Atlanta, Georgia, 9 o'clock. We've got you covered here on KDK Radio. And we'll have full debate debriefings tomorrow morning, including your input.
Yeah, you know, for those of you who will not be watching the debate, and some of you probably have some very good reasons, like me, I'll be asleep. But we will bring you some of the highlights of the debate. If there's anything significant that needs to come your way, we will have it here. And we'll do it in our usual style. We'll do it, you know, briefly and succinctly. And Larry will probably have a few funny things to say, as he always does. You're going to get a lot of material to work with tonight, buddy.
Yeah, this is going to be material for a long time for a lot of the late-night talk show hosts.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll Saturday Night Live and all of the... those that utilize the politics part for entertainment. And the rules, and we've gone over this, 90 minutes, no audience, no opening statements, two commercial breaks. The candidates will not be able to interact with their staff in those breaks or have notes.
And you left out the other three. No drinking, no smoking, and no bad language.
Nosmo King. And... here's the, to me, the most significant one in terms of taken through. So no props. The mic's muted after your turn is over as the candidate. And
Donald Trump gets the last word tonight.
So we'll see where this goes. And again, we'll have full coverage at a breakdown tomorrow morning. Whatever transpires tonight in Atlanta. And finally... what people will be talking about is Allegheny County.
Yeah, Cory O'Connor had a pretty serious message for Allegheny County taxpayers yesterday, which basically boils down to, with the reassessments that have been going on, the appeals of property tax assessments, the property values have dropped significantly. That means less revenue for the county, and for the first time in a long time, the county spent more than it took in, and he's raising a red flag, similar to what... Controller Heisler has done for the city of Pittsburgh.
And a part of that, and a big part of that, is the federal dollars that were an influx through COVID and post-COVID have dried up.
Right. The gravy train is no longer pulling into the station.
My father-in-law had the best advice. He said, if you spend more than you make, that's bad. And that's kind of where we are right now with the city and county. Andy Masick, by the way, the president and CEO of the Heinz History Center, will be in studio Monday in our 9 o'clock hour, and looking forward to that conversation about what's coming to the best museum in America.
I don't doubt that either.
I don't know about eating those pickles that are 160 years old, though.
Yeesh.
About that story about the steamboat. And there's always a Pittsburgh connection. Meanwhile, we're going to have an update on the storm coverage. A couple of factors that strike close to home. Brandon Rossi, who's doing our traffic this morning, said the North Fayette tornado was a mile from his house, and he's going to join us here in a couple of minutes.
Whoa.
Tell us about what he's seen around his home in the aftermath. And also, Dr. Kevin Wong, who is out in the Gannett area, he's already had to circumnavigate some of the roadways because of downed trees.
They're blocked. Roads are blocked all over the place. To give you some idea, if you weren't hit so hard by the storm, the areas that we're talking about here are central and southern Allegheny County, and then far western Westmoreland County.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it was just heavy rain for a while, and there were flood warnings before the tornado warnings and severe thunderstorm warnings. So you had the heavy, heavy rain. And it's as if the humidity and the heat from yesterday was like a sponge holding the water, and the cool air push squeezes it, and you get the just unloads.
I know. I was out around 4 o'clock yesterday. I got the phone call from the body shop to come get my car. So I zipped over there. This would be heading out toward Route 8 on 228, and there was a little light rain falling at the time, and you could feel the temperature starting to drop and the wind picking up. And by the time I got home, it had started to rain, got the car in the garage, got upstairs, and no sooner had I sat down than the trees were like starting to really move. And then we had a downpour for a few minutes. But again, nothing like what we saw last week on Monday or what people saw last night.
I actually stopped at Target in the early evening, and you could hear it pounding the roof, the rain, and then driving, ponding of water on the streets. Aaron, our producers from out to the west in Westmoreland County, and you encountered a lot of that going to a youth camp.
Yes, we were inside of like a building. It's kind of an interesting shape, but same. We heard it pounding because, you know, 1 minute you see the clouds rolling in, you kind of feel it in the air. We knew it was coming, but it really just showed up, just pounding all of a sudden, winds, crazy winds, and they had the doors open. So we're in the middle of lots of things happening inside, and you can just hear the whooshing of the trees and the wind outside.
Yeah, and a lot more trees have fallen since a week ago when we had a microburst. And we'll check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg in just a few minutes and get an update on some other damage. Meanwhile, this is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen and a great friend of the show, Dr. Kevin Wong, who's a family practitioner, but he keeps us informed sometimes. He's out in the Gannett area a lot of the time, and that's one of the hot spots for damage. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
So you encountered tornado warnings in your area, and then you have seen the result of the high winds all around the Gannett area today.
Yeah, it was crazy last night. I must admit, the tornado warning went off. I was sitting at home, and my phone went blasting, and I called actually when my wife was running an errand at Giant Eagle right there in Penny Lane near us, and gave her the warning because she said, yeah, other people's went off. So she was getting out trying to come home, and she literally had a tree go down in front of her right on Harrison City Export Road that blocked. And so I said, you know, just get out of there, go sit in there in one of the parking lots so you can see it coming, because it was coming from the west. I mean, I could look out our back window and the rain was going sideways. Our trees and branches around us, everything was just going sideways. It was wild to see. And, you know, a little touch and go until she got home. And then this morning leaving, debris all over. I mean, Harrison City Export Road, stayed away from, but coming towards Greensburg and Janet, Route 66 has debris covering it from Greensburg up to Delmont area. There's a tree down on Beach Hills Road right near Oakford Park Road that's blocking totally. And even Greengate North had some debris that you had to swerve around with cones until they can get off the road. But yeah, absolutely crazy. And again, this is just falling in the heels of the one we had a few weeks ago within a half mile of my house too. So two literally within probably a quarter mile of each other, same place. Very strange.
Dr. Wong, we're of course relieved that both you and your wife are okay. But what's the damage situation in your neighborhood specifically? What have you seen?
A lot of debris. I mean, debris everywhere. I know there are just west, right near 130 and Pleasant Valley Road, right near the turnpike. I mean, apparently it was much worse. My son is there. They had power locked off, and there's debris everywhere around that whole area. So I'm sure it touched down just west of the turnpike is what they're saying, and danced right across Sandy Hill Road coming this way. And this probably touched down right just south of the high school and then came right across that area again to 66. So it came right across the same path as the one a few weeks ago. Absolutely nutsy.
And what about the heavy rains that preceded the super high winds? Any flooding issues?
I didn't see any because I'm higher, but literally it was like someone just poured buckets. I mean, the rain was just going sideways. Absolutely crazy to see from a window. And I mean, it was just, you see everything swirling sideways. It's very, very strange. And of course, the direction we don't usually see it come from. I am just thankful, to be quite honest, that we had a bunch of dead trees taken down this past spring by Carlos. Otherwise, between these storms, I'm sure we'd had things on our property like other people did.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time to check in. Thanks, Doc.
Yep. Have a good day. Hopefully we get no more of this, gentlemen. We've had enough.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a beautiful day today. Dr. Kevin Wong, by the way, in the Gannett area. We are going to go here in just 4 minutes to AccuWeather World headquarters. Meanwhile, some of the other people that had damage we talked about in the last half hour, pretty frightening when you almost, if you live outside of the city, you can't help but live near big trees.
Well, let's listen to this gentleman here. This fellow's name, we don't have the name. He's an unidentified homeowner in Salem Township out in Westmoreland County. Oops, hang on just a second. I can hear this, but you can't. Okay, there we go.
The wind came so fast, and the rain stuff started getting thrown around, and as fast as it came, it was over.
What was the damage to your property?
A lot of trees. Barn roof got ripped off. Some siding, just stuff scattered everywhere. I'm good. Yeah, everything's all right. Everything could be fixed.
And as far as we know, nobody injured, remarkably. And what about the power update? Duquesne Light's made some progress, as you indicated.
Yeah, they have. It's just over 12,000 right now. And the people at First Energy are reporting 5,500 now outages in Westmoreland County. That's 5,500 out of 184,000 total customers. So kind of put it all in perspective.
And we're going to check in the next 3 minutes with Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's headquarters.
So I guess what I'm seeing here is we're off the hook until the weekend, basically.
We'll see next, but it looks like. And let's go live to AccuWeather's world headquarters, meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
24 hours ago, we discussed the possibility of severe weather. It really hammered, especially just to the west of the city for the most part, but heavy rains too. Do you have any idea how much rain the region got?
Let's see here. I can total up the numbers for the Pitt Airport. It was like, well, it looks like 0.72 was the grand total there. I'm sure that there were some reports that were probably even higher than that. It looked like Allegheny County Airport, 5,800ths of an inch of rain. So anywhere from a half an inch to, I think, an inch of rain. I'm sure that there were, you know, some places in between those reports that had locally higher amounts.
I was checking out the wind speeds on the Weather Service website for both the county airport at Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh International, Joe. Mm-hmm. And the wind gusts were no higher than the 20s, but we know for a fact that that can't be the case where we had the tornado activity.
No, I mean, in fact, I see one report there just shy of 8 o'clock last night at Pitta International Airport of a wind gust of 34 knots, which basically that's tropical storm force, 38 knots just after 8 o'clock at La Trobe. So it gives you an idea of the intensity. That's just at the airport. So I'm sure that in between those reporting sites, there probably were some wind gusts 45 to 50 miles per hour. And then, of course, there was the potential tornado. I'm sure the NWS will send out a survey team here this morning and look at that area, you know, south of the city from Level Green over toward Delmont and New Alexandria. That seems to be the area that was most impacted. And it looks like from the damage that it may very well have been a tornado signature on radar, but they'll go out and send that survey team to either confirm that or just say it was straight line wind damage or whatever.
And I see the line of showers is already out to Philadelphia now, so that's no longer an issue for today. In fact, it's going to be a really nice day after some of this fog burns off.
Yeah, low clouds and fog now. That's just kind of residuals from all that rain and the fact that it tried to clear, then all of a sudden the low clouds filled in. But they'll go away. Nice day, 79. We get up to 87 tomorrow, but it should be fairly sunny. And then the next system approaches on Saturday. The humidity comes up, and there's going to be some showers and a heavier thunderstorm. And there's more severe weather, I think, in the forecast for probably later Saturday and early Saturday night. So I think that that's the time frame that we're circling for the next round of potential severe weather.
And that's what I was going to ask, when on Saturday. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, you got it.
There you go. Mid to late afternoon or early evening, I think, seems to be the most likely time frame.
Appreciate the update. Thanks, Joe.
You're quite welcome. Take care.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's headquarters. So there you have it. Everything you need to know. And then tonight and tomorrow morning. Coming up in our next hour, we'll continue to keep you posted on the damage done in the region and where. And then also, why is Pittsburgh becoming a hub for cybersecurity internationally? This is a great story. Paul, you've often heard about Carnegie Mellon University. They're kind of the epicenter for a lot of this technology. Robotics. Pittsburgh is known as a robotics mecca, too. IT, software, artificial intelligence.
And many startups have come from...
And now cybersecurity.
Yeah, many startups have come from CMU in a number of fields that you're just enumerating.
Next hour, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to see the Bucks and Mets next weekend. That'll be an hour from now if you're around. Flip back and win some tickets. And some other unusual notes of the day. A Titanic exhibit in Chicago got a bit too real during storms there. We talked about the Midwest and the heavy rains. Flooded the Volo Museum, sinking a lot of the recovered Titanic artifacts.
Oh, no.
I wonder if this is the same exhibit that was at the Carnegie Science Center up till April of this year. I'm really disappointed that I didn't get to see that exhibit. But things like postcards, newspaper clippings, even some of the costumes from the Titanic movie, the museum is now closed, and they're trying to salvage what sank. Now twice from Titanic. How about this? Someone at the jailhouse in Cleveland is probably getting fired after accidentally releasing a murder suspect. The jail administrator typed one number wrong on the court code, setting free a suspected killer who was being held on $1 million bond when they should have been letting out a different prisoner.
Please tell me they got him back.
Don't worry, they caught the guy.
Okay.
But what a typo. And here's an AI win for all of us. Toys R Us has just proven that artificial intelligence can go too far. They released a 100% AI commercial, and it's getting torn to shreds on social media, and some wishing bankruptcy on the company. One person compared it to Stephen King's nightmares, and another saying that AI, in a nutshell, uncreative people giving themselves creative titles without actually doing anything. Good luck finding even one positive comment. There wasn't one due to Toys R Us's AI commercial. Lesson learned.
Bingo. I was given the opportunity the other day to use AI on Facebook. Apparently, when you search, they made up, we'll throw that at you now. And I declined. I don't need artificial intelligence. I'm dumb enough already.
Maybe I'll ask AI to just block all negativity. I don't want to hear any more.
Oh, there you go.
If that works, maybe it's worth
it.
What
a filter.